Welcome to the Good Medicine, Cheaper Medicine. I am Nash Gabriel. With me is Shelley Wrench. Today we have a special program. And by the way, our program is on the podcast, in addition to the fact that it's aired every Saturday, every Sunday on WHBC, correct?
Right.
But also on podcast, if you don't be... You don't want to be awake at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning on the weekend.
And most people don't.
You can always stream through your cell phone.
Our website.
Yeah. Yes, just go to the website, GabrielCancerCenter.com. And on the right upper corner is podcast. And we have two radio programs there. This one, WHBC, and we have one, The Cancer Gene, on WHLO. And right. You can listen to them. Both of them are educational programs. This one, we focus on medical economics and other stuff. And today, Shelley, you want to talk about something called DPC.
Right. DPC, it's a new wave of the way that...
What does it stand for, by the way?
It's called direct primary care. It's a new way that physicians are actually practicing... Primary care physicians are practicing medicine. They are no longer credentialing for insurances. And so they ask for a membership per month, per person, and they include whatever they want in that membership fee. This is not to be confused with concierge medicine. That's the old way. The old way with concierge medicine, patients could pay up to, you know, $500 to $1,000 a month or more, and we've heard some cases that it's more, and it's only membership to get access, a relationship.
For the public, simple English. The concierge medicine is basically you pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 so that you are privileged to be Dr. X's patient.
That's a nice way to put it, yes.
But it's a simple way for people, right? DPC, direct primary care, is a different philosophy. It is to evade all the redundant laws and
rules
and regulations created by the bureaucrats, the fourth branch of the government, as Newt Gingrich calls it.
Exactly.
And that those bureaucracies and rules and regulations, they were doing two bad things for us. Number one, they were stealing our time from spending it with patients or on the golf course. We were wasting our time doing their redundant stuff that has no value, but there are people who are making living out of that information.
Right.
And the second one is the time. Patients always complain that doctors are not spending with them enough time to talk to them, to explain to them. And there's truth to that, a lot of truth. You know what? We have seen it since the invention or the advent of the electronic medical records.
Well, think about it. The third thing is having that laptop or iPad in between the doctor and the patient. Right now, you know, patients always complain. You know, why are they always staring at their computer? Just a couple weeks ago, there was a patient in our infusion room in our cancer center. She started going off on everyone because all of our nurses and medical assists, they were on their cell phones. And so I went back to her and I said...
Texting each other. About patients.
She thought they were just texting, you know, friends and family, whatever. So I told her,
not allowed in our place.
No. I said, we have a HIPAA-compliant system that this is how we communicate to take care of you rather than saying your name out loud with your diagnosis and being more HIPAA-compliant. So then she finally backed off a little bit. But you know, going back to the DPC, there's a lot of regulations that are put forth there by payers, CMS and commercial payers, that patients don't really realize. You know, it's checking all the boxes in order to get that, to get paid, for the physician to get paid. So they're asking them about redundant things. Like the patient comes in, let's keep it with primary care at this point, comes in with pneumonia, they're coughing, hacking, wheezing, and all of a sudden they says, let's assess your risk of falling, or let's talk about your tobacco cessation, or, you know, something that is redundant to that visit. Because that's the only way that they can check all the boxes in order to get paid for that visit.
And by the way, Shelley, it's again for the patients, for the public. When the regulators, the bureaucrats or the government create these rules, it's not like these rules just come down from heaven and are implemented right away. These rules are designed. You and the staff have to attend seminars to understand those rules. I have to attend seminars to understand those rules. Then we attend seminars and read how to implement those rules. Sometimes people are forced to hire lawyers to make sure that you are compliant with the rules, right?
Well, when we have to demonstrate compliance through all the reporting on a regular basis, it's so time-consuming.
Now, these rules were going to help patients. You know how I am. I want everything to be the best for patients. If these rules were going to help patients, I'm all for it. Actually, it's not only they don't help patients, they actually hurt patients because they are distracting us, the healthcare providers, whether physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, the lab techs. We are getting distracted from serving those patients by simply to do some paperwork for some bureaucratic elements in the government who just want to play with numbers.
Data.
Do you remember when we had an episode about ICD-10?
Oh, yeah.
About how many different ways, according to the government, and a turkey can injure you?
Yeah. And how many times you can get sucked into a fan of an airplane, sequela?
Yes. How many times that if you get sucked into a fan in the airplane during a crash landing, how many times? You just think about it. The people think you were joking. No. When President Trump, God bless him, when he said for every new regulation, we have to eliminate two, he knew what he was talking about. In fact, currently it's 21-1. For every new regulation and rule, there is 22 that are eliminated. This is not malicious behavior. This is basically rules that are put there by whoever to make life difficult for us, for factory workers, for factory owners. You just name it. The book of rules and regulations now is in the volumes and volumes anyway.
Well, I think that maybe I need to clarify, too. There might be listeners that are kind of wondering, knowing us, coming from a cancer center, why are we talking about primary care? And it goes back to what we're already doing for employers. We have on-site clinics where we deliver primary care to the employees of those employers, right? And so now we want to open it up through direct primary care to the consumer, to the patient.
To anybody.
To anybody. So anybody can go on to libertyclinics.com and sign up for this program. By the way, the name of the program that we were trying to come up with, the Americana DPC, it really stands for the way that healthcare should be delivered in America. So that's where we came up with
it
the Americana.
Exactly. It was a woman go through childbirth. They didn't have telephones. A horse rider will go to the doctor's house, put him on his back, on the back of the horse, or a little, and take him to the, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden now, I feel bad for patients that the healthcare professionals are so detached from them. And I'm glad that, as usual, the private sector is coming up with the solutions. Who was it who said the government is not the solution, the government is the problem? Reagan. And it's, again, proving true. Look at us now. This is, you went to a conference about this DPC.
Right.
And, in fact, one of the attendees and the speakers there was Dale Bellis.
Who we've interviewed on this program.
Who's interviewed this program is the CEO of
Liberty Health Show.
Yes. These are these entrepreneurs, people who say, I had it with wasting my time with the rules and regulations of the government, because these are doctors saying, I want to take care of my patients.
It was awe-inspiring. When I got to the convention in Orlando, I really didn't know what I was walking into. I walk into this huge convention center. There's 575 people in attendance. There are only two non-physicians, and that was Dale Bellis, who was the keynote speaker, and myself. And I asked Dale, why am I here? So I learned about the legalities. He wanted me to learn about the legal aspects and how to set it up, how to make sure that we can bring it to the public, we can bring it to Stark County. In fact, we were part of the Stark 100, moving the community forward a few weeks ago, went to Brookside, Brookside Country Club to help launch this thing, to make sure that not only is it employees who are being helped in our community, but it's individual members. The beauty about the Americana DPC program is pre-existing doesn't matter anymore. It's gone. Doesn't matter. We're doing primary care. So you don't have to worry about...
Sean, before you explain that, I just want to remind the listeners, this is the Good Medicine, Cheaper Medicine. I'm Nash Gabriel, and with me is Shelley Range. We are from the Gabriel Cancer Center. And this is our program, and today we're talking about DPC, or the Americano program, which we call it for our clinic. This is a primary care service that's unique, innovative, and it is designed by physicians and some smart people. And the intention is, I want, as a healthcare provider, to zoom and concentrate only on two things. The best care for my patients and enough time for me to golf. Isn't that what the philosophy is?
I think so.
You think so. So, Shelley, anybody can sign up, and you made a good point. It doesn't matter if they're pre-existing or not. So let's say that I am diabetic, hypertensive, have one arm amputated, have COPD, smoke like whatever, have high cholesterol.
We want you. We want you to sign up for the program.
Still, I pay the same amount per month like the producer, who is a good-looking 27-year-old guy, very perfectly healthy. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
And we both have the same rights to visit the primary care doc up to, what, 30 times a year?
No, 30 times per year. And it can be an office visit, in-person office visit, which you have to establish yourself first, at least through an office visit.
Well, yeah. The first time they'll be seen, there'll be establishment of the comprehensive initial evaluation. You are establishing the practice, right?
Right.
So the subsequent visits will be focusing on whatever issues there are.
Right. So it includes the initial visit, which will do a full physical, comprehensive. It also includes, in those 30 visits per year, it can be telehealth. So once you're telemedicine, so once you're established and you, maybe you're at work and you don't want to leave work, but you're starting to get a scratchy throat or fever or something, you could actually call into the clinic and use one of your 30 visits as a...
Shelley, I think that's very legitimate. I do it with cancer patients now. I know them very well. And sometimes they will call me and say, I have a sore throat. You know what I do? I say, okay, get the spouse or the son or the daughter, take a picture for your throat, text the image to me on my cell phone. It's convenient for me. It's easier for me than... Right? I have seen another patient next day in the office and for them to travel and so on. So.
And then they get worse in the meantime. So they come to you. They should have had it taken care of yesterday.
Call it telemedicine, call it instant medicine, whatever you want to call it. It is a good service.
It is good medicine.
As long as you know the patient well.
Right. Yeah, the healthcare provider would have to feel comfortable in actually diagnosing and treating through that telemedicine. You know, it's not something that needs to be further, you know, assessed.
Okay, so before we go into details into what other benefits there are to the direct primary care, which is really a nice name. So if somebody wants to sign up for your Americana program, which is DCP, right?
DPC.
DPC. Direct primary care, yes. Good spelling. When they sign up, they will pay how much per month?
$50 per month.
$50 per month. And whether they have insurance or not, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
Because they pay that $50 a month, and they can be seen up to 30 times a year. No
right.
Copay, no out-of-pocket, nothing.
Right. Now to back up a second, though, you should have health insurance for other things outside of our program. You don't have to have...
But that's not our problem.
No, but they, if they're going to go to specialists, go to hospital...
Charlie, I would imagine it would be silly for somebody who's diabetic and hypertensive, because those people are likely to develop some serious problem, like occlusion of an artery, like a heart attack. And when you get those, you are in the hospital, done. It's a $50,000, $100,000, so you need insurance for that.
Right. I'm not condoning by any means not to have insurance. I'm just saying you don't have to have insurance. It doesn't matter your insurance status with us at all, because it's outside. And the beauty of
Shall I think about it this way? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Think about it this way. The Obamacare individual mandate, that it required that if you don't buy health insurance, you pay how much penalty? $2,500 a year? And that was the basis for Justice Roberts to say it is a tax. And that's why he didn't. He said Obamacare is legal.
And that's why it's being eliminated.
Think about it. You will pay $2,500 in penalty if you refuse to buy insurance. Yet with this program, it's only $600 and you get access, and most DPC providers are committing themselves to instant services, meaning they do their best to see the patient the same day or the following day.
Correct.
Because the idea is patients have access, and when patients pay a flat fee, they have, we don't call it unlimited access because there is a limit, up to 30 visits a year, and most people will not need that money, but they can use it up to that.
you know, the one thing I want to step back again for just a second about the insurance. The one thing that they can do, patients can do about their insurance that they do carry, now that it depends on their health status, of course, but now they can go to a higher deductible plan, right? So if they've got, you know, if they're basically healthy, they can raise the deductible. It depends on their financial status as well. They can, which lowers their premium.
That's a great point. Because
so they can raise the deductible, lowers their premiums, and there's the savings that they can spend.
Statistically, what proportion of the deductible is contributed to by doctor's visit, lab, and pharmacy? Most of it, right?
Right.
And most of the time, you only reach your deductible after you get a catastrophic event like major hospitalization.
So they're hung out to dry to pay for those annual visits and labs.
So to your point, you will spend $600. If your deductible is $5,000.
Which that's low these days.
Yes.
Only $10,000.
And Shelley, I wanted to explain to the listeners. There's additional benefits because we're talking about deductible and expenditure. There's additional benefits from the Americana program that you started at Liberty Clinic here in Canton, which is DPC.
Right.
Direct primary care. What other benefits people get in addition to the real nice, generous access for a very low cost?
Well, of course, that access includes the annual blood work, right? And their physical. And we have some other, like audiometry is included. But the beauty of the Americana DPC, situated in the same building as the Cancer Center, which has a lot more options, and we also have, the first thing is the retail pharmacy, the Liberty Pharmacy. So now, say for example, you're in the Liberty Clinic, and your healthcare provider has prescribed medications.
So you
can
you are a DPC patient, you're seeing the primary care provider, and the clinic is Liberty Clinic on Higbee Avenue. What are the advantages that you've been seeing there rather than anywhere else?
Well, as I was saying, as soon as the ordering physician says that you need medications X, right, you go across the hallway to the retail pharmacy, the Liberty Pharmacy, and say you do have insurance as well, right? So you go over there and you say, here is my script, right? So we can actually adjudicate if the patient already knows that they have an out-of-pocket they haven't even touched yet. They can just go ahead and say, what is the cash pay? And this is part of the gag rule, which we're going to talk about in another segment. So what's the cash pay versus I adjudicate it and I might have met my deductible. What's my copay if I run it through my insurance? So they can go one way or the other.
Shelley, you need to educate all of us about this. Let me ask you a question and then maybe you answer and explain this about the difference between cash pay versus what insurance pays. We know that uninsured patients, when uninsured patients come to GCC with cancer, either we don't charge them or there is really nominal charge. When uninsured people go to the hospitals, they get charged more than what the insurance, a normal insurance pay. Am I right with that, Owen?
They do. They do pay more. But then, you know, some of them, they go through the CAP program with hospitals. If they qualify, they might get a discount. But no, they're hung out to dry with all the hospital charge system. So, yes, they pay more than any insurance would ever even think about paying for those procedures in the hospital.
So when with the DPC patients, when they come to the Americana clinic and see their primary care, and, of course, your primary care providers are cost conscious.
Oh, absolutely.
If there is a reasonable alternative generic, they will do that.
Right.
And sometimes the difference between the generic and the brand name is like 100-1 or 1-100. You're saying that the Liberty Pharmacy will also bend backwards to even minimize the cost to those patients.
Right. And we can do a lot of different really unique things with that. So with that script, depending on where you are, where you're at with your insurance, either you choose like to do a cash pay, like I said, or run it through, adjudicate it through your insurance. If it's a more costly drug, say maybe it's after steps therapy where the lower cost drugs are not working and they actually have to go on to a higher cost medication, manufacturers actually have copay assistance programs that we have one full-time staffer that does nothing else but to find money to pay for those high pocket out of
Again, this is the Good Medicine, Cheaper Medicine we're talking, Shelley and I are talking about today, about this new innovative program called Direct Primary Care. And Shelley is spearheading such a program, essentially a fixed rate per year or per month, and so that patients can have good access to primary care in addition to a lot of more benefits. Shelley, if somebody wants to call and sign up, how do they do that?
Well, they can either call they can go onto the LibertyClinics.com website, and there's...
So it's LibertyClinic.com.
LibertyClinics.
LibertyClinics.com. And then there, that will guide them into Americana program?
Yes. There's an Americana icon there that they can actually click on the link, and they can go right into contacting us through the website, that we will reach out to them and talk through the enrollment.
Perfect.
And it starts January 1st.
Oh, we haven't started yet.
Yeah, it'll start. We're accepting registrations now, enrollments now, but it'll start January 1st.
So people can go to the website now and put, what do you ask them there? What information do you need from them? Name?
It's just, right now, it's just name, name, and it just says contact us, and it'll go straight to my email.
And again, pre-existing, no pre-existing, you don't care.
Right.
You treat all equal.
Right.
Isn't that socialist? No.
The other thing that I have to mention, too, the other high-cost thing that happens to patients is the cost of labs. So outside of the $50 per month, which is the annual blood work is involved with that $50 per month, but outside of that, if there's any other blood work that needs to be done on a regular basis, we have a negotiated contract with a lab, a reference lab. So there again, it's the same concept as with the prescription medications. Depending on where you are with your out-of-pocket, you can either put it through your insurance and have the insurance pay, or they can pay cash pay, which we have negotiated rates, which is blows everything out of the water.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't go into this in detail, but I think we will. The cost of the lab, again, the out-of-pocket has played a big role in establishing this program. You and I know when we did the math, when people get blood work done, done through the doctor's office, whatever, and you send it, be billed through the insurance, we figured three tests, common tests, and the average was $180 that the insurance or the patient would pay, right?
Right.
In the special contracting that we have for our on-site clinics, that is cut by about 90 or 80%.
Oh, at least. I mean, we had a friend recently who's a physician and had his own blood drawn at his own place that he practices, and he had a $600 bill for what our negotiated rate was, what?
23.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
I mean, people might not believe this. He's a physician, and he had routine blood work and PSA and all that. And he paid $600. And his jaw dropped when you showed him the numbers.
Here's our negotiated rates.
How much we charge patients who come to the primary care. By the way, the same lab.
It's exactly the same lab.
Same technicians. Yep. Same machine. And more importantly, we get the result directly into our electronic medical records.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I feel a little bit restrained from saying these things because people say it cannot be right. Folks, you have no idea when the president talks about drug companies and drugs are expensive, you have no idea what he's talking about, or actually he probably still doesn't know. A big, big portion of the cost of healthcare is middlemen who have nothing to do with patient care.
Oh, they just put their tentacles all over the money and pull it in.
We discovered recently through doing some search, insurance brokers, healthcare insurance brokers, they sometimes take up to 40% of the premium as their commission. Meaning...
That's a whole nother show.
It's painful though, Shelley, because everybody... Look, I mean, 40%?
Yeah.
I mean, 5% would be fine. And we are complaining that the healthcare cost is going by 1% higher than inflation rate, and you will adjust it.
Right. And it's
40%. cut back in half, and we will have so much money left, we can take care of everybody. We will not be complaining about the cost of the drugs that actually cure people.
Right.
I don't think insurance brokers cure patients.
No, I don't think so either.
They're very good at their golf game, but that's it.
Another point I want to bring up with being in the same building as the Liberty Clinics is our CAT scanner, which is instant imaging. So part of the membership, they actually get a cap on their CAT scans, which is $275 per body part. Now, $275 per body part is a crumb versus what the hospitals charge. Hospitals charge, I see bills starting around $1,200 going up from there.
Again, for the public, some people might think this is exaggeration. Folks, no. We did our homework.
I have proof.
The range for the CAT scan cost done by hospitals and some imaging centers is anywhere per body part meaning a head, a neck, a chest, just one of those. The average cost is somewhere, the range is between $850 to $3,000.
Oh, yes.
We have seen $3,000, right?
Oh, yes.
Yet, actually, Medicare and Medicaid and most insurances, they say it should be only $260, and that's what Medicare pays people
they're,
like
they're
that.
They're all average. All the body parts are $275, so that's why we just capped it at $275.
Right. And you know what? I'm proud of that because I don't want a patient to decline doing a test because of the cost, especially if the test is really critical for them. Like a heavy smoker who needs a CAT scan of the chest once a year for 3 years, because that way we discover lung cancer earlier, maybe cure some people, and we know we're doing that. I would hate to see somebody say, $800 or $1,000, that's too much, especially when the out-of-pocket is just growing. It used to be $500 in the old days. Now it's $6,000 and $7,000.
Right. Well, that's the whole purpose of this is to make sure that patients are paying a fair price and getting high-quality health care. They can go to thelibertyclinics.com and sign up there, or they can call phone number 330-933-4536 and just give us a call. We can ask.
So if anybody wants to enroll starting January, they can still go now and register. The website is
The Liberty Clinics with an S.
Is it The Liberty Clinics?
TheLibertyClinics.com.
Yes.
And phone number again is 330-933-4536. So we just want to make sure that Stark County and surrounding counties, they have access to high-quality, low-cost medicine, which is our whole ballgame.
That's exactly always my intention, that Stark County be at the tip of the bayonet when it comes to healthcare.
Exactly.
Thank you.